There's a lot to talk about the premiership this weekend, and who better to do it with than Danny Diccio of Soccer Central. Danny, thanks so much for doing this. That is a tremendous, tremendous picture of you, by the way. I retweeted it. The hair was amazing. I forgot about some of your the styling you had when you played.
Yeah, I had the big long sideburns, big long wavy head, some disastrous haircuts, as you know, guys. But that's part of the misspent youth that I had until I realized that I had to start being more sensible, becoming a father and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, it's amazing what fatherhood does for you. Different haircuts. You got to change a whole bunch of things.
It's falling out because of fatherhood.
Sometimes it changes for you. Sometimes you have no. That's one of the aspects of fatherhood too. Sometimes it changes in spite of you. So the Manchester derbies this weekend, Man U and Man City. Man U coming off that 2-0 loss to Newcastle on Wednesday. Newcastle didn't have a lot of possession. I think they had like 30%, 35%. But they certainly were able to find some joy in the counterattack. Can United take advantage of that? I know they're not the same team as Newcastle United. I don't think they have the pace Newcastle United does. But is there a way, Danny, that you see Manchester United trying to take advantage of Manchester City by maybe going in the counterattack a little more?
Well, it was actually Manchester City that lost to Newcastle during the week in the League Cup. Mm-hmm. So Manchester City have had a couple of bad results now. Pellegrini's starting to feel a little bit of the pressure. Their star player, such who I really, really like as a player, David Silva, is out injured now for a couple of weeks or more. So that's going to be a big miss. But I think what's more startling for Pellegrini and Manchester City is that the defence that they actually spent some money on this summer, which needed to be addressed, is just not holding up at this moment in time. And we all know Manchester City going forward are one of the best forces in the Premier League, if not Europe. But defensively, they have not looked very sound. And they're coming up against their arch rivals at the weekend, who we've seen early on in the season, Manchester United, are having similar problems defensively. But attack-wise, with the likes of Falcao, Van Persie, Rooney's coming back into the mix as well, they are very, very good going forward. So it should be a real, real eye-opener of a Manchester derby.
What does Silva's absence mean to Man City in terms of tactical changes? Is there something they will have to do to offset that?
Well, that's an interesting question, you know, because I really feel that David Silva is their kind of conductor as such when they are going forward. You can see the trust that the players have in him. They're always looking to give him the ball because he's the catalyst for all their attacks when they are going forward. And we know Aguero's a wonderful finisher. We know Edin Dzeko is a very good target player. But when you don't have someone pulling the strings like David Silva in that attacking midfield role, that's where Man City are really kind of running out of ideas at the moment. Now, they do have some other weapons in their arsenal with the likes of Yaya Touré, who's not having as good a season as he did last season. They also have Nasri and Jesus Navas as well. But with the likes of David Silva being out, he is one guy that, as I said before, when I look at the team, when I look at players and I see who they're passing the ball to, who they trust with the ball, he is the player that the majority of the players give the ball to and say, let's start something, let's make something happen, because he's going to ignite something here.
You know, we're so used to, in some ways, to I wouldn't say poking fun at West Ham, but people sort of look at West Ham, and because of Sam Allardyce, sometimes there's a tendency to roll your eyes. But they've been in a pretty good run for a while right now. Are they for real, Danny, going up against Stoke? Are they for real?
I think what we've seen this year is that they've changed their tactics. As you said, Big Sam was known for his very direct play. There was boos and a lot of heat coming on him last year from the West Ham fans, because West Ham, although I don't really understand the reasoning for, are known as the Academy of Football. They're known back in the 60s and 70s of playing football on the deck, on the ground, as we call it, nice combination football. But they haven't been that way for years now. So Big Sam took a lot of stick last year for being a very, very direct team with big Andy Carroll up top, lumping it up to him and trying to feed off the second balls. But this year, he's brought in some players, some flair players. Sacco, who's been an amazing buy for them. And they're a different team going forwards. Also, the acquisition of bringing Song in from Barcelona. He's the ex-Arsenal player who's that holding midfield role. And he gives them a lot of security when they are releasing their attacking players when going forwards. And I've been impressed with them this year. And I've got to say, a lot of credit has got to be given to Sam Allardyce, who has changed his plan of action. Although he did come out with a silly quote, I think, last week and saying, I still have dreams of becoming the England manager. And I was like, OK, Big Sam, let's not get too ahead of yourself. You're doing very well at the moment, but I think that's a bit of a long shot.
Danny Diccio joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. 8:30 on Saturday, we will have Newcastle United and Liverpool on Sportsnet Ontario and Sportsnet World. What's going on with Liverpool right now? And how much of it, Danny, falls at the feet, so to speak, of Mario Balotelli? Is he really an issue for this team, or is he just a convenient scapegoat for some other things that are going on?
I have to agree with you a little bit on the scapegoat. I think there has been some unfair criticism of him. I think we all know the baggage that...
So much for baggage. Our question with Danny Diccio about Mario Balotelli. He's a guy, he's been a lightning rod wherever he is. And he certainly hasn't, I don't think, fit in all that well at Liverpool. And there are people out there who'll tell you they predicted it. But I just think there's so many more issues with that team beyond Mario Balotelli. I just think that sometimes, especially, it seems especially in soccer, there's a tendency to really immediately jump on a guy, especially if he's a forward. I think maybe forwards get more immediate criticism sometimes than defenders do. We're joined again by Danny Diccio. Yeah, I was making the point, Danny. I think you were agreeing. Mario Balotelli has, look, he's had some issues since he's been there, obviously. Luckily, most of them have been on field. But there's a lot of other things going on with Liverpool. Lovren hasn't had the impact that they wanted him to have. I just think sometimes it's too convenient to point, especially at the striker or the forward or the guy playing up front. It's too convenient sometimes to lay the blame on them as opposed to somebody who's playing back or in the midfield.
Yeah, agreed. Totally agreed. And, I mean, being an ex-forward myself as well, Jeff, we can take a lot of it on the chin. You know, we're used to that criticism. But as Liverpool are concerned, I think there are other particles of the problem that are not being addressed. Defensively, they're still not sound enough. The goalkeeper is still a little bit of a problem for me. He's come in for some bad mistakes that I feel he could have done better with. Mm-hmm. So the midfield is not as fluid as it was last year. You remember Liverpool last year. They were such a delight to watch, the fluid movement. And it was also a lot of natural attacking flair, where this year it looks a little bit rigid. And as we go back to the sense of Balotelli being criticized at all lengths from the media, from the fans, and I think it is some unfair criticism. Yes, he could have done better on a couple of occasions in front of goal, where you expect him to put the ball in the back of the net. But any striker could have come in and not replaced the goals what Luis Suarez has done for Liverpool in the last 3 or 4 years. And also with the absence of Daniel Sturridge, who is their main go-to guy for Liverpool. Let's not forget that. He could have been in a little bit of a rut as well. So would he have been coming in for this criticism as well? I just feel that with all the media attention on Mario Balotelli and all the baggage that he brings, I think it's an easy target for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it was one of the writers at The Guardian wrote the other day that one of the things you're beginning to see is it seems as if Liverpool might be a team. They seem to be getting in the way of themselves at some point. And Danny, we've seen teams like that where it's almost as if you're your own worst enemy.
Yeah, and I think we expected Liverpool to go on from last year and continue with that attacking fluid football that we saw last year. And I think Rodgers is now really, really being looked at with the essence of, is this the guy to lead Liverpool into the future? I still have my thoughts on him. I think he's a good young manager. I think he has some great ideas, but you have to have a plan B and also a plan C as well. And it just seems that Liverpool, when their ideas are not going the right way, when their game plan has been set out, they don't have that plan B or plan C to go to. And for a club like Liverpool, you expect more from that. You know, you look at Chelsea and they have such depth in their squad and they can play different formations, different systems, move people here and there. And I just don't see that with Liverpool.
Danny, it was great of you to do this today. Thanks so much.
No worries, Jeff. Have a great weekend.